Welcome to Kylie Says It's About to Get Real. I chose the name of this podcast after most of my friends would say, shit Kylie says, after I'd share a deep thought or perspective on something that always ended in more conversations. I started this podcast out of a period of spiritual curiosity that caused me to do deep dives into manifestation, meditation, and mindset and perception work that had me exploring things like angel numbers, life path numbers, human design, mediumship, Akashic records researching, and more, all while overcoming a traumatic eating disorder and trying to thrive as a postpartum mom of two while building my corporate career. This show is a mix of guest interviews and my take on life, love, friendship, and all of the topics that I find interesting. Here, we talk to experts, authors, entrepreneurs, and more. If you're looking for a show to get you out of your rut, you found it. Welcome to Kylie Says. I'm your host, Kylie, and I promise to entertain you, give it to you straight, be real with you, and have some fun along the way. Welcome back to Kylie Says. I am so excited to talk about this topic today because I feel like it's one that in my corporate job, we talk about this a lot. And it's this idea of how to romanticize something. And what we mean by that is not like you have to fall in love with something or everything that you say you have to be in love with. It's more this idea of putting a story around whatever it is that you're doing or that you're working on. Specifically in this episode, I want to talk about how to romanticize your life and some tips for doing that. Now, because I was a child actor, I feel like everything for me is a story. There's always that main character energy. And that's what I want you to think about and embody when we're thinking about romanticizing your life. And if we have any Bluey watchers, Bluey viewers, this is literally for parents only, then you'll know that there's this one episode about the parents bringing the romance and the smoochy kiss. And that's what we're talking about today. It's this idea of romanticizing the things that you do in your life. It can be as simple as making your bed. I feel like certain content creators are so good at romanticizing certain things that they do in their day-to-day life. Like those videos where people do deep cleaning and they just make it so satisfying to watch. Or the people that do really good cooking videos that show each step by step. Even people that style their outfits. All of that is romanticizing something that's so simple and so basic as putting on clothes, as cooking a meal, as making your bed, as cleaning your space. But this idea of romanticizing the things that you do every day will A, help you create more patterns in your life because you'll like the idea of the story that it tells and the story that you tell yourself. You'll begin to build more trust and faith in the fact that the more that you build patterns and that you have routines that you adopt that you can easily repeat over and over and over again, you'll trust in yourself that you can do something from start to finish and that it can be enjoyable. The entire reason why you would want to romanticize your life is so that you can enjoy what you do on the day to day. There is literally nothing worse than trying to do some of the things that, especially as corporate moms, you have to do on the day to day, which feel either monotonous, repetitive, or so time consuming that it becomes the ultimate task where you can barely even do it because you're so sick of the idea of having to do it, or you feel so exhausted at the idea of having to do it. And mind you, I'm not always romanticizing everything. There are many days where I am fed up at doing all of the mundane things that I have to do. But one area where I feel like I'm pretty good about romanticizing my life is specifically in the corporate setting. And what I mean by romanticizing your life, in particular in the corporate setting, is I almost just daydream my way through certain situations. And I feel like daydreaming has a bit of a bad rep because usually you associate it with someone who like signed up to do a sport, or I do. I just picture a kid who said yes, they wanted to play soccer, and then they're the ones who end up sitting on the field picking the flowers while the rest of the game is going on around them. They're in their own world, they're in their own head, and that's not bad. That's a symptom of creativity wanting to unlock itself in a different way, and also maybe not finding the right path for that person to focus on where their genuine energy wants to be directed. But in the daydream sense, it's almost telling a story that you are hoping to have come true. It can also be considered manifestation. That is super important when you are going into a meeting, when you are presenting something for the first time, when you are delivering something to someone. That's not to say that you're not going to get feedback, that everything is going to work out perfectly, and that you're suddenly going to become the highest paid CEO of a company. That's not it at all. It's more this idea of taking the day today and some of the things that might seem a little bit scary to you and putting this romanticism spin on it so that you can storytell around something that might create anxiety or fear or other symptoms and put a bow on it in the idea of a story. So what's the story that you want to tell? What character are you in this story? It's almost like you're acting your life out in a way that you were hoping that the ending will be. And of course, none of us know what the ending is going to be, but we can only use situations that we've had in the past to help us direct how we act or how we portray something in the future. And then hopefully we identify a pattern that we then can use to help us make better decisions or figure out what might need to change in your life. So as you're romanticizing your life, the first thing that I think that you need to do is think about this story. What's the story that you're telling yourself? And that's really what happens when you have your unconscious mind telling you something. And that's going to be that voice that you hear over and over and over again. That's going to be the voice that's telling you either you're not good enough, you're not thin enough, you're not smart enough, you're not XYZ. You may believe some of those things, or you may believe all of those things. Either way, that's completely up to you. And your belief in those things will absolutely impact the outcome of whatever story or whatever situation it is that you're taking part in that day, that week, that year, etc. So if you are consistently telling yourself that you're not smart enough to deliver a great research paper, you're not, I don't know, you're not something to do something, you're going to have a hard time finding the romanticism in that situation because you've placed such a negative sentiment on it in the first place. So think about your storytelling truly in a way of just brainstorming / daydreaming about how something might go. That can be, you know, when I walk into a room, everyone's going to look at me because I bring happiness into our office and I am a total culture ad. That might be true, but that's not the only thing that you have to offer. So this idea of daydreaming about how you want your work life or your personal life to go is really just the idea of you putting a vision to something that you want to see happen in the future, that you want to see happen tomorrow, that you want to see happen in 10 minutes when you go into this meeting. It's a way of portraying the situation before it happens and delivering an outcome that you want to see so that you are more likely to see that outcome because you've already played it out in your head. This is something that a lot of athletes do, is they visualize the play. They visualize, I don't know, let's say you're a tennis player, you visualize hitting that backstroke, you visualize the layup, you visualize the actual game, all of the situations that might come up, and then you deliver an outcome that you are hoping for because you've played it out in your head. It's just like if you're a dancer, you have to go to dance rehearsal because you have to practice the steps in order to get the performance right. It's literally the exact same thing. So first is feel comfortable daydreaming and setting that story. The second thing is practicing it. So once you have, you'll want to do this idea of daydreaming or romanticizing this, maybe, I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to say this, but it's like you want to be able to do this in a bunch of different scenarios so that you get more practiced at it and it becomes easier for you to think through a scenario. I literally do this when I'm even going to someone's house, thinking about like how it's going to be when we ring the doorbell, what they're going to do, what I'm going to do, how I want to leave, what I'm going to say when I leave, how I'm going to present the gift that I'm bringing to the house or whatever that is. And it's not to say that I'm over scripting my life. It's more so I'm thinking through what I want the outcome to be and how I want my role in that outcome to shape or to be shaped. And I think that this can be hard, especially for people like me, where you have a very strong connection and identity assigned to whatever the outcome is. And I've had to learn to work through that. So if I daydream a situation or an opportunity and then it doesn't go the way that I was hoping to, I used to have an incredibly hard time with the outcome being different than what I had planned in my head. I think that's something that you'll have to be wary of as you focus on this idea of romanticizing your life. But one thing that I feel like I love that I've been seeing a lot lately is Galentine's material. And the reason why I think that this is so perfectly aligned to this idea of romanticizing your life is because it's romanticizing this idea of having woman friendships. and what it does for you personally, what it does for you professionally, celebrating the people that are in your life that you're close to, finding a way to laugh or to enjoy each other's company, to do something new and unique and different that maybe is something that you've never done with those people before, but shows that you love them and you appreciate them. That is this idea of romanticizing friendships. It's just the same thing as when you say you're going on a date. You are romanticizing this idea of being with your partner. It's just like going on vacation. You are romanticizing the idea of traveling the world with your friends, with your family, with whatever. You can end up sitting on the beach eating pizza out of a box like I've done before with our family. And it can still be the most amazing trip and the amazing experience because you're actually putting it into action. And I'm sure you thought a lot about that trip before you took it. You probably planned the heck out of that trip. You made reservations. Those are all ways that you're romanticizing things in your life. Instead, you're taking some of the guesswork out of the unknown. That brings a lot of comfort, especially for someone who's more of a type A personality and needs to know what's happening, what are we doing, where are we going. This is a way that you can plan and then also take action on it. So I think the third step is this is the actual action assigned to this idea of romanticizing a situation, a place, or a thing, etc. You can daydream it, but then you actually have to do something about it. It's similar to what I feel when people say that they have a hard time, and this is totally me, losing weight or sticking to a plan, sticking to a routine. And part of it is the monotony gets boring, and so you want something new and exciting, and that's where this idea of romanticizing the idea of routine will really come into play. It'll give you an opportunity to want to stick to it more because you can then say to yourself, I am a morning person. I am someone who sticks to my routine every day. I love routine. And then you can think through other ways that you can build routine into your life, into your children's lives, into your spouse's life, etc., so that you can have more opportunity to build the beauty around things that seem so simple. And then you won't get necessarily sick of them because you'll enjoy that opportunity to romanticize what it's like to light a candle at night, write in your journal, take a bath, turn off the TV, have a fireplace on, etc. For instance, I had a day today. My son woke up at the crack of dawn. He had thrown up in his bed twice. We came in here. I tried to let him go to sleep. He threw up in here a few times, so I kept having to go and do laundry to clean the sheets and everything, which I'm not complaining about doing any of those things. It was more just, it's tiring. Sometimes being a mom comes with hard days. Now, I am exhausted. I'm absolutely going to bed as soon as I finish recording this podcast episode, but I have the fireplace on in my room. I'm sitting in a cozy chair by our bed. I just put new sheets on our bed, new pillow cases on our bed, and I'm going to wash my face, do my nighttime routine, take my time with it until I feel really good, and then I'm going to go to bed early, get a great night's sleep, wake up early because we have our company-wide kickoff in the morning starting very early that I'm going to be tuning into remotely. For me, the idea of giving myself a full night's sleep tonight and having all of my bedding washed and doing my nighttime routine, taking care of my skin, taking care of my face, taking care of my body. I refilled my water bottle with a bunch of ice cubes, which is just how I like it. That to me is romanticizing this idea of taking care of myself. Yes, the wheels may be falling off in all other areas, but I'm going to take the time to do the podcast episode that I should have recorded days ago, a week ago, because I didn't make time for it, but I'm making time for it tonight because it's important to me. So I put on the fireplace. I have my water next to me. I have our chandelier on with the lights dimmed, the curtains drawn so that I can take this moment to truly romanticize this idea of building a podcast episode, putting it out there, getting my feelings and my thoughts out there to an audience that's listening because they're looking to me to give them advice on how to do certain things, or they want my take on how to romanticize their life, for instance. So this is one of those ways that I'm actually doing that. And I guess another way to think about this, if romanticizing your life feels a little bit too corny for you, or it's not really a theme that you can get behind, you don't love it, another way to do this is just to give yourself a situation that feels comfy or cozy or special. That could literally be lighting a candle as soon as you wake up in the morning, so that your room smells super fresh. I've seen some people that I work with, and especially those that work remotely, every single day they light a new candle or they light the same candle and they just have that candle on as they're working throughout the day. and then maybe they'll light a different candle halfway through the day or something similar. That's literally the perfect example of how to make something feel a little bit more cozy. I used to go into my office and every day I would spritz this one smell good thing that I got from Target that's like this essence. And that would kind of be my cue of, okay, I'm ready to start the day because I've taken this one action. So again, everything comes back to action. First, you think through what would make me feel good in this moment? How would I be able to actually feel good about this action that I have to take? And that's the romanticizing. So again, it doesn't have to be a super complicated or convoluted idea. It can just be something as simple as I'm going to walk into this meeting and I'm going to be the light in this entire room and I'm going to leave having a good idea, feeling very confident in my contributions. Yes, it's an affirmation, but at the same time, there has to be an action associated with it. That doesn't mean that you can go into the meeting and suddenly you're going to get called on by every single person and you're just going to be dropping all of this advice or all of these ideas and creativity that people are looking for. You have to actually think through what's something creative that I could bring to this meeting. When I bring this creative idea to the meeting, this is how people are going to respond, or this is what I want to bring to the meeting. And then just go into the meeting knowing it's going to happen for you. But you have to raise your hand. You have to actually say, I think I have an idea. May I share it now? And give yourself the opportunity to make that situation come to life. And that's the entire intent behind this idea of romanticizing your life. It's going to be so helpful when you have to do something that feels mundane. Another example is something like laundry. I, for one, am terrible at doing laundry. I will let it pile up in the laundry room. I'm pretty much the only one who does the laundry in our house. So if it's going to get folded, it's me. If it's going to get put away, it's likely also me. Otherwise, it will just stay piled up in corners of the house. And so sometimes when I'm trying to think about folding the laundry or even having to put away the laundry, it feels like such a task, a very overwhelming one I don't want to necessarily have to do. So sometimes I'll just put my podcast on, not mine, but I'll be listening to another podcast. I'll put my headphones in and I will just kind of zone out and use that as an opportunity to just focus on the task, but also give myself time that feels like me time. So I'm using this folding and this continuous motion and separating things by child, by person, by these are the PJ pile, this is the hanger pile, etc. And that gives me a little bit more peace in romanticizing that task that feels so mundane to me. I'll fill up my water bottle, I'll bring it right by me, I'll start folding, I'll categorize everything, I'll continue to do the laundry, and then I'll feel like not only have I completed something that felt totally daunting beforehand, but I've also listened to a podcast episode I had saved that I really wanted to listen to. I'll have listened to a playlist that I was really hoping for to kind of get me excited. It's the same thing when you think about going to the gym. How many of us watch these videos on TikTok or Instagram of these influencers going to the gym, talking about their routine, what I eat in a day, get ready with me? And it seems like, how can you even record that? I feel like I'm doing that stuff like so fast in my day to day. But part of that recording is also that idea of romanticizing the idea of getting ready, romanticizing the idea of getting dressed in the morning. When we had our closet rebuilt, I had a, I don't know what it's called. It's like a stylist hook that you pull out so that you can style your clothes on it and then hang your hanger. So in the morning, anything that's hanging on that is pretty much what you're wearing to work that day. I haven't used it as much as I probably should, but when I do use it and then I go into my closet in the morning when I have to get ready for work and I'm getting ready out here in the dark, I can turn on the closet light and then I feel like, okay, that is just like a little bit of peace for me. Because I know that I set it out purposefully. I knew what I wanted to feel like when I got ready in the morning, and that's the outfit that's going to help me embody whatever it is that I want to show up for that day. Whenever I go into work and I do not take the extra step of picking out my outfit the night before, I always feel stressed out. And then I don't know how I want to show up that day because I don't know what outfit will help me embody that. And that is very difficult for me because I want to have this idea of how I'm going to show up. Oh, I'm going to dress a little fancier today. I want to feel dress for the job you want, not the job you have, sort of situation. But when I don't do that, I always feel like I end up sloppier. I end up not liking my outfit and I end up less confident because I put zero thought into it. And then I'm rushing to try to fill this story in my head about how I want to show up for the day with no time, energy, or effort behind it. When I'm working from home, I care less because I kind of just throw anything on because I can change it four times if I want to when I'm home. when you're actually in the office, and for me, I work very far away from my house, it's impossible for me to then just change my outfit. So that's another act of romanticizing how you want to show up for the day by just doing something as simple as picking out your outfit. So, in the spirit of romanticizing your life, the few tips that I had were, first, think of that story. Feel free to daydream. Two, imagine the scenario and practice, practice, practice. That was kind of two and three. Be able to imagine the scenario, visualize it. Three is practice. Four is act on it. If you are unable to act on it, you will have a difficult time seeing some of those things come to fruition because they will continuously just be a thought versus an idea versus I put that thought into action and now I have a result. That result showed me that that process actually worked. Now I can implement it over and over and over again. So, how to romanticize your life and four tips in under 22 minutes. I'd say that's a record. Thank you so much for stopping by. And if I end up having the time to record another episode, then I will see you next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be another week.